Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Qi Zhi. Coming up in this edition, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected the US call to halt the attack on Rafah, but agreed to send a delegation to Washington for further discussions. Caribbean leaders say the formation of a key transitional council, which will select an interim leader for Haiti, will soon be completed. And Chinese President Xi Jinping has called for solid efforts to further energize the central region, which is home to over a quarter of the Chinese population. We begin with the Middle East. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected the US call to cancel a ground operation in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, which is home to roughly 1.5 million displaced Palestinians. But the Israeli leader agreed to send a delegation to Washington for further discussions. Netanyahu has said that he will approve a plan for the evacuation of Palestinians in Rafah. His remarks come amid intense fighting around the Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest medical facility. Associated Press correspondent Sam Mednick has more from Jerusalem.
This is Israel's third day of raiding the Al-Shifa Hospital in northern Gaza, and they say they're doing this because Hamas fighters have regrouped there and are using it to launch attacks. There's about 30,000 people sheltering in this hospital, the largest hospital in Gaza. Many of them have been displaced. On Wednesday, Israel said that they killed dozens of Hamas fighters, that they arrested about 350 suspects around the area, and that they found weapons inside the hospital, including guns, machine guns, as well as grenades. One person who was in the hospital sheltering there told reporters that he saw Israeli soldiers handcuff people, blindfold them, strip them down to their underwear in some cases, and take some people away. Israel has long accused Hamas of using hospitals as well as fighters as shields. This is something that Hamas has denied. While this is all going on in the north of Gaza, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to plow ahead into the southern city of Rafah, where he says the remainder of the Hamas groups are operating.
That was Sam Mednick reporting from Jerusalem. A United Nations report says famine is imminent in northern Gaza as 70% of people experience hunger on a daily basis. Israel's attacks have leveled farms and infrastructure throughout Gaza. Aid has trickled into the enclave, but as Noor Harazin reports, this assistance is not enough to avoid a catastrophe.
Since the beginning of this Israeli offensive on the coastal enclave and in the first 2 weeks of this Israeli war on Gaza, the Israeli forces targeted the food infrastructure in the coastal enclave. I mean, the Israeli warplanes targeted the main bakeries in Gaza, mills also attacked and besieged main farms close to the border between Gaza and Israel. This came along with a tightened Israeli blockade on the coastal enclave. It was until late November, until Egypt allowed some aid into the Gaza Strip, and until this day. I mean, we are more than 5 months into this Israeli war on Gaza, and there is very little aid that is entering Gaza. We are talking only 10% of the needs of the people that is being allowed, and only 1% of that is being allowed to northern Gaza. The situation in northern Gaza is catastrophic. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, 27 people died because of starvation in northern Gaza. Most of them are children. And now we are talking about dozens of other children. Their life are in danger. Their families are now seeking help through social media, showing photos, videos, calling upon the international community, calling upon Egypt to allow more aid into the Gaza Strip. And some of these children are actually suffering from other diseases, like, for example, hepatitis or kidney failure, and they require specific items of food to survive. However, these items are not available in northern Gaza.
That was Noor Harazin reporting from Gaza. In Europe, Ukraine's attacks on Russia have reached the western Saratov region, where several drones targeted a Russian strategic bomber base on Tuesday. A Russian official says the drones were destroyed. As shelling from both sides increases in border regions, evacuations are underway in Sumy, Ukraine. Megumi Lim has more from Kyiv.
The latest string of attacks that have been carried out by Ukrainian forces against these critical infrastructure and military targets. We've seen just one. Reuters reports that the Engels Air Base in Russia's Saratov region was hit by Ukrainian drones. And according to Ukrainian intelligence, first of all, Engels Air Base is home to Russia's strategic fighter bomb fleet. And according to Ukraine's intelligence, they're saying that the damage they have inflicted a certain level of damage on this airbase. But according to the governor of Saratov, he's saying that indeed Ukrainian drones were downed over this region. And meanwhile, as Russia and Ukraine exchange attacks on each other's territories, we've also been seeing reports of evacuations taking place in Ukraine's northern Sumy region, which borders Russia. Authorities have said that attacks by Russian forces have increased significantly over the past few days, specifically the use of guided bombs against this region. And President Zelensky has accused Russia of, quote, waging a terrorist war against our people.
That was Megumi Lim in the Ukrainian capital. Russia's Belgorod region has closed more schools and announced a switch to remote learning for students, along with plans to evacuate 9,000 school children. This comes after Ukrainian forces extended their campaign of long-range strikes on Belgorod. Dasha Chinichova reports.
Well, indeed, we have heard from the governor of Belgorod region, Vyacheslav Gladkov, the confirmation that after the intensification of the Ukrainian attacks against this border region of Russia, the decision has been made to relocate from this region 9,000 children. He said this is the number of the requests that the officials have received when this offer was put behind the parents. Already this week, 1,200 children will be taken to three other regions of Russia, deeper inside the Russian territory. This is the region of Penza, Tambov, as well as Kaluga. We understand that these children will be provided with everything necessary, and afterwards the remaining applications and requests for the relocation of children will be also met. We also have heard from the authorities there the confirmation just recently that two people died as a result of the Ukrainian shelling of the Grivoron district in the Belgorod region. Early in the day, another person died as a result of the Ukrainian attacks, and pretty much constantly on every minute we receive the reports about the attacks against this region taking place, about missiles, about sirens in this area. We also have heard from the Russian president, who said that Belgorod residents are very courageous. He thanked them for this courage, and he said that everything will be done to support people who were forced to relocate or who have now to rebuild their houses. He did say that Moscow is seeing all of those Ukrainian attempts to attack the civilians, and Moscow will respond. Moscow has all the capacity to do so. Earlier this week, we've heard Putin saying that Moscow is willing to create the so-called buffer zone that will prevent those attacks from happening so that the Ukrainian fire cannot reach the Russian borders.
That was Dasha Chinichova reporting. Turning to the Americas, Caribbean leaders say the formation of a key transitional council, which will select an interim leader for Haiti, will soon be completed. This comes as Haiti remains engulfed in gang violence and widespread hunger affects the population. Dan Collins says more.
As Haiti appears to slip further towards anarchy, Caribbean leaders say it could be moving towards a political roadmap. They say all groups and political parties except one have submitted nominees for a transitional presidential council. The council is charged with selecting an interim prime minister for Haiti and putting the country on the path towards democratic elections. But some Haitians are skeptical of solutions proposed by the international community.
We don't recognize the CARICOM meetings. We don't recognize the UN Security Council meetings. We don't recognize the meetings held at the White House. Haiti's destiny has already been decided, and it's not part of any of those groups.
Outspoken gang leader Jimmy Charizier, known as Barbecue, joined a march in defiance of a state of emergency prohibiting demonstrations. Surrounded by heavily armed members of his G9 gang collective, Charizier has rejected what he calls foreign intervention.
Gang violence continues unabated in Port-au-Prince, despite
Prime Minister Ariel Henry's announcement that he would resign last week. Forcing him from office was the stated aim of the gang insurrection, and he's been unable to return to Haiti, but there's been no let-up in the violence. On Tuesday, police in Haiti killed at least three people while repelling an attack on the country's central bank. And gunmen left at least a dozen dead in an attack on supposedly safer neighborhoods on Monday. The violence and chaos have meant food and medicine are not getting into Haiti, and thousands of Haitians are trying to get out of the country. The United Nations has joined human rights activists in calling on Haiti's neighbor, the Dominican Republic, and other nations to postpone or reduce deportations.
We would like to call to the attention of the authorities of the Dominican state and government the situation that Haiti is experiencing, of humanitarian crisis, of generalized violence, of catastrophic situations, of famine.
The Dominican Republic has said deportations are part of its national security. Its government says more than 23,900 people have been deported so far this year, and more than 4,500 just this month.
That was Dan Collins on the crisis in Haiti. Finally, in Asia, Chinese President Xi Jinping has called for solid efforts to further energize the central region, which is home to over a quarter of the Chinese population. The president made the remarks at a symposium in Changsha, Hunan province. The central region covers the provinces of Shanxi, Anhui, Jiangxi, Henan, Hubei and Hunan. They are important bases for grain production, energy, raw materials and modern equipment manufacturing. The Chinese leader called for efforts to foster new quality productive forces and promote new industrialization in the region. Wang Taiyan has more.
In his speech, President Xi highlighted the central region's pivotal role as the country's important grain production base, energy and raw material base, modern equipment manufacturing and high-tech industry base, and a comprehensive transportation hub. He said the region's development has reached a higher level since the last symposium was held 5 years ago, but some challenges remain. The president urged more efforts to pursue industrial innovation and cultivate new quality productive forces. He also called for forward-looking plans and a faster modernization of the industrial system underpinned by advanced manufacturing. President Xi also said the campaign to energize the central region should be integrated with the nation's other major development strategies. He urged the region to coordinate the promotion of deep reforms and high-level opening up to strengthen its competitiveness, while ensuring ecological protection and green and low-carbon development. He highlighted China's goals of integrating urban and rural areas, advancing rural revitalization, and enhancing food and energy security capabilities in the central region. At the symposium, Premier Li Qiang underscored the importance of implementing the guiding principles of President Xi's speech, ensuring the development of the region based on its geographical and resource advantages.
That was Wang Taiyan on President Xi Jinping's visions for the central region of China. Central China has emerged as one of the country's fastest growing regions. Over the past 5 years, it has consistently experienced fast-paced growth across all major sectors. From 2019 to 2023, the combined GDP of the six central provinces surged from 21.8 trillion yuan to 27 trillion, or nearly 3.8 trillion US dollars. The economies of Henan, Hubei and Hunan made it into the top 10 among China's 34 provincial-level administrative divisions. The region's per capita GDP increased from 60,000 to 74,000 yuan, steadily closing the gap with the national figure. Now, recapping today's headlines, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected the US call to halt the attack on Rafah, but agreed to send a delegation to Washington for discussions. Caribbean leaders say the formation of a key transitional council, which will select an interim leader for Haiti, will soon be completed. And Chinese President Xi Jinping has called for solid efforts to further energize the central region of the country, which is home to over a quarter of the Chinese population. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story. The
podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to the Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Xi Zhi. Thank you for listening.